What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game. Good Monday morning to you, Gil Alexander. Week 10, guessing lines in the National Football League. It's Gil Alexander, of course, the star of the show each and every Monday here. Christy Andrews, my mishpoka from behind the desk here at the South Point Hotel Casino. Jeff Parlay is here as well. If you're new to the Monday edition of A Numbers Game, Guessing Lines is a tribute, a nod to the old Stardust radio show of the same ilk from back in the day, a nod to old Vegas, where the exercise is that I'm in a cocoon. I hear the matchups, I come up with a line, and Chrissy tells me what he is going to post. And within that exercise, we try to extract some firsthand value into the upcoming week's line. And of course, what we do while doing that is look back at everything that happened yesterday. And Chris, first of all, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Jeff, we came in. You came in the studio, and Jeff says, is that one of your top 3 days of all time? And I said, how about top one? And you said,
top one.
Best day you've ever had, ever.
Well, here at the South Point.
Here at the South Point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
For me,
I told Mr. Gaughan, we'll split it. How's that sound? He wasn't going for it.
I'll begin the show as I do always. Ladies and gentlemen, you can hit the Survivor record scratch sounder. This is what happened. Yeah, it's the enemy. I did not survive the carnage. Wow, thank you for that as well. As luck would have it, I was also on Jacksonville radio this morning, which was just even crueler than anything. I had the Bills yesterday. And in the end, the Bills, and we'll get to the Bills, just looked horrible. Just horrible against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But my whole calculus on this was I didn't trust the Saints, probably correctly so.
Yeah,
I was never going to take Dallas. I had already used Indy and KC. I didn't trust Baltimore. And even though that got home, I think I was right not to trust that.
I'm very lucky to get home, yeah.
And so my whole thing was, you know what? I'm using one of my two Thanksgiving plays. I'm using the Bills because I still have Dallas ready to go then. I don't trust the Bills. I think the Bills are a really fraudulent team. They haven't beaten anybody. So I'm going to use them against Jacksonville, and I'm going to get away with that one because they can bully up on Jacksonville.
Of course.
And then we'll talk next week. Nope.
Wasn't to be.
Last thing about this. Let me just rank what is so distraught. What makes you so distraught about losing in Survivor? A distant third is that you lost your money that you paid before this. So you don't even care about that. Second, the money you could have won or you thought you might be a participant in splitting at the end of the season. That's number two. But you know the number one thing is that you just don't get to play it anymore. It's so much fun from a week to week basis.
Sure.
And anyway, those are survivor entries eliminated. 249 were on the Bills, 122 were on the Saints, 111 on the Cowboys. This was the remaining 1,100 plus in Circa, and then some stray Rams, Raiders, Niners, and Bengals. We'll see about the Steelers tonight. That was the other team I didn't trust. So the Steelers lose tonight, then I have no regrets whatsoever.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked a little bit about it before the show, so I'm not supposed to talk anymore about it. But
yeah,
it was carnage for us, too. Let's just put it that way.
We'll leave it at that. What's number one, Jeffrey?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thursday night, Baltimore at Miami.
Yes. Baltimore at Miami Thursday night. So Baltimore is a potential, I would imagine, survivor pick for those moving on who still have them. Baltimore comes from way behind to beat Minnesota. They were down 24-10. Baltimore was to Minnesota early in the third quarter. And we'll get to Minnesota later. Good God. Three straight touchdown drives from the Ravens. The middle one of which, the second of those three, was an 18-play, 82-yard, 10-minute and 17-second drive. And they outscored them from being down 24-10. They outscored the Vikings 24-7 the rest of the way. Baltimore, fourth and two at their own 36, down 24-10 with 12:39 left in the third quarter. They convert, eventually leads to a fourth and goal at the one and a touchdown pass to make it 24-17. Subsequent drive, fourth and one at their own 27 this time. Down 24-17, 2:19 left in the third quarter. They go for it, sneak, convert. That leads to a 24-24 score. That was the 10-17 drive, the longest touchdown drive since 2000 for that franchise. That's what it took. They just kept going for fourth and short in their own territory. They didn't care. They got it done, and they win. Lamar, 27 of 41 for 266, three touchdowns, two picks, sacked three times, 21 carries for 120 yards. So three touchdown passes and 120 yards on the ground. He's 12-0 straight up all time versus the NFC. Make of that what you will. Marquise Hollywood Brown, nine catches for 116. The Ravens out first downed the Vikings 36-13.
Wow.
Good God. 500 total yards. They outgained the Vikings 500 to 318. And the Ravens were minus two in turnovers and still won this game. They had a 46-04 to 23-40 in time of possession. Remember, it went to overtime. And so that's the Ravens coming back. They're 6-2 yet again. Seems you look up every year after eight games and they're 6-2. Miami beats Houston in the battle of 1-7s. It's only the second game in NFL history between two 1-7 teams. They snapped their seven-game losing streak. Tua announced before the game, like, how do they keep this under wraps all week?
Yeah, we didn't know.
We didn't know.
Nothing about him.
It's like, oh, it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. And I'm thinking, oh, all those people had the Dolphins. By the way, as soon as they announced Tyrod Taylor was playing Friday, the Dolphins were out for me, too. Mm-hmm. So they get Jacoby Brissett on top of it, and they win. Snap their seven-game losing streak. There was four takeaways and five. The Dolphins had four takeaways and five sacks. Zero touchdowns allowed. Brissett was 26 of 43 for 244, one touchdown. Two picks, sacked four times. Waddle was his biggest target, eight for 83. But they were outgained by Houston, 272 to 262. Dolphins only had 47 yards rushing. They held Houston to only 14 first downs. Had five turnovers to Houston's four turnovers. Imagine you had five turnovers, you won a football game. Nine total sacks in this game, too. This game was a Picasso. There's no other way to say it. Dolphins 17, Texans 9. I'll say Baltimore minus 7.5 on the road Thursday night.
You're pretty much right on. It's mostly 7. I see 7 with a little juice on the favorite. I see a 7 flat. I see 7.5 juice on the dog. My numbers are way higher than this. I got to tell you, I think Miami is just horrible. I mentioned it last week. I think when you have one veteran team going against a non-veteran team, I give the veteran team a much bigger edge in these Thursday night games. I mean, I had this thing double digits. You know, I think Miami's just horrible. They beat a horrible, horrible team yesterday and looked horrible in doing it. And like you said, the Ravens, here they are, 6-2, once again.
Once
how
again.
Do they do it? But, you know, you look back at the Ravens, they've not been unimpressive. I mean, they keep winning games. You know, somewhere psychologically, we have not been impressed with them. But I think when you look back, they're a legit team. Anyway, I'm going to open 7.5 flat. You want to come in and take that 7.5, folks, lay 11 to 10, which you can't do anywhere else in the world at this point in time, be my guest. It's going to be available for you right here at the South.
7.5, right on the money. All right, what's the first Sunday morning, Jeff?
Jacksonville at Indianapolis.
Oh, do we have to already? So Indianapolis coming off the extra rest. Remember, they beat the Jets on Thursday night. Almost the greatest backdoor cover in the history of mankind from the Jets. Not quite. Wentz was 22 of 30 for 272, three touchdowns, no pick sack once. Taylor, 19 for 172, two touchdowns on the ground. Hines, 6 for 74 on the ground with a touchdown. Pittman Jr., 5 catches, 64 yards for and a touchdown. They had 532 yards in that game against the Jets, but they gave up 486. But 260 rushing yards was the difference. They were plus 2 in turnovers. Okay, Jacksonville yesterday. Talk about teams. You said Dolphins look bad in victory. Jacksonville beats the Bills 9-6. And it's like, okay, I don't know if this says anything about Jacksonville,
yeah,
but it sure says a lot about the Bills, who looked so soft yesterday. Trevor Lawrence, 15 of 26 for 118. 118, Chrissy.
Yeah.
No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. He had a 4.54 yards per attempt in the win. That's the second lowest such figure this season for a starting quarterback in victory. The worst of those numbers, starting quarterback in victory, is coming later on the show. So 4.54 yards per attempt for Lawrence in victory. The Jacksonville Jaguars only had 16 first downs. They only had 218 total yards. Were outgained 301 to 218, but they were plus 2 in turnovers. Mm-hmm. They took the ball away 3 times. They had an NFL low 2 takeaways in their first 7 games of the season. Now, there was a couple things on this. This, first of all, was my first road survivor pick of the year, too. There was a couple things, right? With the right tackle of the Jaguars, probably false starts every single play, and they never call it. But, oh well. Buffalo had 4th-and-2 at the Jacksonville 38. They false started. That looked very much like an offsides on Jacksonville. Went the other way. And Scott Hansen, by the way, did you watch the red zone, the non-direct TV red zone? Scott Hansen was killing me yesterday. This Josh Allen, sacking Josh Allen thing, where he also had a pick and a fumble recovery, he could not stop talking about it. Maybe 10 times. It's the Jaguars' first win in North America. Their first win in Jacksonville since week 1 of last season. I hate myself. Jacksonville at Indy. I'll say Indy minus 8.5. Split the difference between the 7 and the 10.
Oh, you're way low. It's 10, and I see 10.5. My numbers come to like 13. I am not buying into this Jacksonville win yesterday.
But I don't like the Colts either.
Well, I've said it before, and they definitely stumbled against Tennessee 2 weeks ago. I think the Colts are finally starting to get it together a little bit. I really do. And I think they've been kind of on that verge. Now, do I trust Carson Wentz all the way through? Not really. But do I trust him against Jacksonville? Yes. So I'm going to open this 10.5. I see 10 and 10.5. I'm going to have 10.5. If I see this trending higher in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to go higher. But right now, I will be at the top of the market, which is 10.5. I could have the Colts or nobody here. I could not play the Jaguars. I know they won yesterday. They looked ridiculously bad.
So bad. And for those who are like, wait, if Chrissy has it at north of 10, you must be running to bet the Jaguars. No, I'm not. Oh, it's so bad.
You don't want to get trampled by everybody else running to take that 10.5.
Costanza moving the women and the children out of the way to get rid of the fire. Yeah, I will not be that guy. Okay. Just starting, guessing lines, looking for value. Chrissy's posting the 10.5 then there? Okay.
I'm open 10.5.
10.5. Just starting. We'll keep it going with guessing lines for week 10. Reviewing all the carnage from yesterday in the National Football League. It's a numbers game at Feast in the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. Doing a little guessing lines for week number 10 in the National Football League. Can't believe we're at week 10. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Marcus Phillips, our friend Marcus from Spain, from España. He says, I'm getting off the hype train of Kyle Shanahan being a good coach. Personally, he has run out of excuses in San Francisco. His record shows who he is, especially as he chooses the players every year, and he is very irregular. Irregular might be a language barrier.
Might be
thing.
Mediocre.
Yeah. Irregular, I think he says.
I saw that tweet. I think Marcus is right on, I got
to
tell you.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we will.
Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus had this stat the other week. Kyle Shanahan's winning percentage as the coach of the San Francisco 49ers is worse than Mike Singletary's was.
Whoa.
It's exactly how I reacted.
Whoa.
I didn't believe it. I had to look it up. That's how flabbergasted that was, bad. Cricket Man. Mr. Andrews has to be the most reasonable and likable bookie in the world. It's like getting gambling advice from your favorite grandpa. How do you take to that? Do you like that?
Up till that last word, I was very flattered. How about uncle?
Uncle, maybe.
Yeah, grandpa?
Jesus.
I have one grandson. He'll be 4 in a couple weeks.
Yeah, he's a little, exactly. Sorry about that. Charitable gambler. A lot of injury uncertainty last week factored into some guessing lines thoughts. Gil's 8-7 on the season. Chrissy's 7-2 in his last nine. Back on it here on Numbers Game, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Thank you, Charitable Gambler. He's always there for the tweet before every guessing lines. Coach Brian, any tennis plays today? Okay, well, not kidding. No, we're gonna wait till next year. Maybe I'll do some finals, men's and women's, when I get to the year-long finals next week. Let's see. Jeff Kuykendall, you are right. Losing in Survivor takes all the fun out of the season. What hurts worse is that there are only about 600 left after 9 weeks. Enjoy your day. And from Paul Carr, our soccer guy who's on this show, he goes, totally agree with the reasons to be sad about being ousted in Survivor. He said, I had the Cowboys. I already missed the weekly mental gymnastics of it all. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's the not being able to play. Vaccinated man, I understand Chris Hansen is already working on a 30 for 30 documentary about the Josh Allen, Josh Allen thing. Quote, they said it was impossible, unquote. It's so true. It's like, just stop already with it. It's like he knew I had Buffalo and Survivor. Tommy Rowe, Gil's hatred for my beloved Jags continues. It's okay, this team is going to continue to play hard and take down a couple more teams contending for the playoffs. I don't hate your Jaguars. I just lost to them in Survivor. Relax. Okay, what's next?
The Jaguars play hard? Wait a second.
Are you really excited about that win yesterday?
Wait a second.
That was them at their best yesterday?
That's the takeaway from yesterday? Okay. This is actually a pretty reasonable game. Cleveland at New England.
Very reasonable.
Cleveland. Okay, so among the results yesterday, I mean, I'm sure there were people who thought Cleveland would cover. I'm sure there were people who thought Cleveland would win. Did you think Cleveland would crush Cincinnati? Baker Mayfield, 14 of 21 for 218, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Nick Chubb, 14 for 137, two touchdowns. But all you have to know is the turnover difference. Cleveland was plus 3 in turnovers. Once again, 153 rushing yards. It's their seventh game this season. The Browns, with 150-plus rushing yards. That's the most in the NFL. They did have 10 penalties for 84 yards. They got to clean that up. Denzel Ward, so this was also a theme yesterday, the pick six theme. Every team that had a pick six won their football game. Denzel Ward did it for the Browns, 99-yard interception return for a touchdown. I don't know if it set the tone 6 minutes and 2 seconds into the game, but it did make it 7-0. Bengals did tie it at 7-7, but by halftime it was 24-10. Myles Garrett, 1.5 sacks. He's got an NFL high 12 as well. And then New England. The New England Patriots are a half a game behind the Bills for the lead in the AFC East. I had more than one person yesterday text me, hey, what are the odds on the Patriots to win the AFC? By the way, here's this ridiculous Monday Night Football stat that I feel compelled to repeat, even though I know it's ridiculous. Teams that have won on Monday Night Football are 8-0 their next game this year. I don't know what that had to do with New England. I don't know how that got into this note. That has to do with Kansas City, but okay. 4-0 straight up. The Patriots are 4-0 straight up on the road this season. Mac Jones yesterday in victory. There was so much of this. Again, Trevor Lawrence had, 118 yards passing in victory? Mac Jones was 12 of 18 for 139. One touchdown, one pick, sacked twice. Ramondre Stevenson, 10 carries for 62, two catches for 44. And keeping with the pick six theme, J.C. Jackson. One of his two picks was a pick six of Sam Darnold. He went 88 yards to the house, 7-12 left in the third quarter, made it 21-6 New England. And from that point forward, it was Katie Barr the door. We'll get to Sam Darnold later. I said Patriots by 3 here hosting Cleveland, 2 5-4 teams. Didn't know what else to make it.
It's 2.5. That's exactly what my power rating has come to.
2.5.
We haven't mentioned QBR yet. You mentioned the Patriots and Jones. His QBR, 27.2.
Yeah.
Really, not that great.
Didn't do
but
anything.
The team did look good. I mean, no doubt. And I've mentioned before, I have like a grading system. If you grade over 100, you did pretty good. Both these teams graded over 100 yesterday, so they did well. Baker Mayfield, QBR yesterday, 82.7, which is very good. By the way, a little thing with Cleveland fans. They've been looking for a quarterback since Brian Sipe. That's like 1982. They finally have a good one. Is he great? No. Was he worth the number one draft choice? No.
He's good.
But he's good. They want to get rid of him. Like, for what? For Case Keenum? Is there anybody in the pipeline this year? I don't see anybody coming out of college that you have to have. This is your quarterback. He's pretty good. You know, you can win with this guy. You know, quit complaining all the time. Do you not remember all these other quarterbacks that you had for the last 40 years?
I said this all last year when Beckham didn't play. Yeah. He, now that he's gone for good, and we'll find out today where he's going, he looks, Baker Mayfield, again, the word I used all last year when he didn't have Beckham on the field, unburdened. Mm-hmm. Like, Baker Mayfield can act as cool as he wants, but when Beckham's out there, it appears that he feels the need to get the ball to Beckham just to keep him happy. Mm-hmm. Now, without him on the field, and it always seems this way, he just feels like, you know what, he can play organically good football. Doesn't have to worry about him.
It's like you're walking, you know, with Beckham in the lineup and on the field, he was like walking on eggshells. You know, we've been in relationships like that with, you're laughing. Yeah, I'm trying not to laugh, but like we've been in that. But anyway, getting back to the number, it's 2.5 everywhere. I think 2.5 is fine. I think 3 would be a take for me. I think 2.5 puts it right in the middle. And by the way, if you look over the course of time, if you take the 2.5s more than you lay it, you're better off taking. Particularly like the Browns this week.
Despite how tempting the -2.5 looks.
Yeah, despite how tempting. That's why it's 2.5 and not 3.
Jeffrey?
The next one, the Atlanta Falcons at the Dallas Cowboys.
So Atlanta beats New Orleans, and that was Koo's third game-winning field goal this season with 0-0 left on the clock.
For
Atlanta. Yeah, they were up 24-6 over the Saints. Atlanta was in the fourth quarter. Then they gave up 3 consecutive touchdown drives to New Orleans. New Orleans' final 3 drives. And then it was the big play, Ryan to Cordero Patterson, that changed the game, that allowed for that field goal to be set up. Atlanta deserved to win that football game. Saints survivors go down. Ryan, 23-30 for 343 for Matty Ice. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Cordero Patterson, 6 catches for 126. Including that 64-yarder, accounted for more than half of that yardage, with 101 left down the right sideline when they were down 25-24, which set up the game winner. Only 34 rushing yards for the Falcons in victory. They had a 4th-and-inches at their own 46, up 3-0 halfway through the second quarter. They got stopped. No consequence to that. We'll go through all the ridiculous 4th downs. Not ridiculous, but really, we talked about it with Baltimore, how it really paved the way to their victory. So Atlanta gets the win. Dallas's 6-game winning streak snapped to Denver. In probably, as crazy as the Buffalo result was, Dallas getting, first of all, not covering, getting beat, all of that, maybe you thought, but to be losing this game 30-0 at one point to Denver had to be the most shocking thing of the whole weekend.
They got dominated.
Dominated. 6-game winning streak snapped, season lows in points, 16, and yards, 290. Dak was 19 of 39 for 232, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked twice. We'll get to the guessing of the lines here after the break, but 14 first downs. They were out time of possession, if you will, by Denver, 41-12 to 18-48. Dallas was -2 in turnovers. They gave up 407 yards, 0 points on their first 8 possessions. 0 points, Dallas, on their first 8 possessions. And here's what it come down to. 4th-and-1 at the Denver 38 opening drive, they got stuffed. 4th-and-2 at the Denver 20, second drive, incomplete. 4th-and-1 at the Dallas 45, now down 7-0, third drive, they punted. Then Denver had it 4th-and-14 at their own 17, 12:51 left in the third quarter. Dallas down 16-0. They blocked a Sam Martin punt, and it was recovered by Jonas Griffith, but somebody touched the ball from Dallas.
Yeah, right.
4th-and-1 at their own 40, down 19-0. 6:54 left in the third quarter. Dak overthrows Lamb. 4th-and-7 at their own 28, down 27-0. They go for it. They get a pick. And then McCarthy leaves Dak in the game for some reason. They finally score, and then he doesn't go onside kick. Then they run him on a meaningless 2-point conversion later, because why not get him hurt? I'll give you my guess, and we'll get the actual line coming up. Numbers game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We get tweets again at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Goldie Dawn, can you help me with my bingo card this week? Can you get Christos to say, I want to see these young quarterbacks do well because I want the league to do well? Stay healthy,
Chris. That's my buddy from Australia. Great guy.
Let's see.
Hello, Goldie. Hi, mate.
Hey, mate. Babyface Assassin. Gil, why is Shanahan not getting heat in San Francisco? Hey, he should be. He absolutely should be.
I think he will be.
Let's see. Jerry Andrassi, tell Chrissy Bernie Kosar, not Brian Snyder.
Yeah, I forgot about Bernie. Well, just because he was throwing a javelin all those years instead of a football, I kind of forgot.
Shot put. Joe Pita, let's update the old Doyle Brunson quote about the World Series of Poker. Quote, the saddest day of the year is the day you get knocked out of the main event. Switch that to Survivor. I agree, Joe. Joe was kind enough to be on set with us last week.
Joe's great.
Talking about profit. 702 AJ is like, are you aware that we had Josh Allen versus Josh Allen today? Yes. I'm aware, Scott Anson. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Back to the last one we just talked about.
Yeah.
So I was going through all those fourth downs for Dallas. And the point of going through that is we first talked about it through the prism of Brandon Staley. But when you start to trail a football game in the year 2021 in the NFL, you start to do this, you know, like fourth down roulette thing on overdrive, right? And so a deficit can become much bigger, yes, much more quickly. And for those of us who bet on these things, these games now get out of control in a way that they otherwise wouldn't. So it's an interesting thing. I will say for this game, Atlanta at Dallas, that Dallas will still be a 10-point favorite.
Yeah, it's pretty much 9. I see a little 9.5. You know, I'm going to open 10. You know, I know Atlanta has suddenly come alive. They're 4-4, which I can't believe.
Four and four.
But here's who they've beaten. They beat the Saints with Trevor Siemian, the Dolphins and the Jets. Their other win this year, win number 4, was against the Giants. So I'm far less than impressed. Dallas looked absolutely horrible yesterday. No excuses, although maybe Dak wasn't 100%. And we'll get to Denver, too. Vic Fangio complaining because Dallas was going on fourth downs. I mean, coach your own team, for God's sake. Anyway, I'm going to use 10. My numbers actually come higher than that, but I'm going to be at the top of the market at 10. I have no faith in Atlanta, and I think Dallas does rebound with a victory over a team that's not very good, even though they're 4-4.
And what about the stupidity of Dallas and Mike McCarthy leaving in Dak again for whatever reason? You're down 30-0. They score, and then he doesn't go for, you know, they don't go for, first of all, they score, and then he doesn't go onside.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And then you leave Dak in for another meaningless two-point conversion, because what could go wrong there, yeah, in terms of injury? Just the lack of, you know, just being present sometimes kills me on this. Jeff, what's next?
More for you, Gil. The Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets.
Did you know Josh Allen sacked Josh Allen yesterday? I'm curious.
Which intercepted Josh Allen and fumbled him, too.
Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, 31 of 47 for 264, no touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 4 times, 5 of 50 on the ground, lost a fumble. Stephon Diggs, the only guy who showed up really in the box score, 6 for 85. They outgained Jacksonville, as I said, 301 to 218, but they were minus 2 in turnovers. Going into the game, Buffalo led the NFL with a plus 13 turnover margin. They had 12 penalties for 118 yards. Let me just say this about the Bills. Before this game, again, one of the reasons why I took them in Survivor and the reason that I didn't care anymore that they were on Thanksgiving is because the Bills are fraudulent. Fraudulent. Look, you just talked about, Chrissy, you just talked about who Atlanta beat. The Buffalo Bills this year, talk about not beating, you know, what's the opposite of a murderer's row? They have beaten this year. This is they're 5-3, first of all, now. This is who they've beaten: Miami, Washington, Houston, a terrible Kansas City team, and Miami.
Mm.
They've now lost to Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and now Jacksonville. Everything they did yesterday, there was no point in that game where they felt like they were going to win that game against Jacksonville. And as those stats indicate, they couldn't get anything on the ground. Then when they tried to throw a pass, Jacksonville was in the backfield. And then when they could give Josh Allen time, they were committing a penalty. They were terrible. They looked so soft in that game. They're at the Jets, you said?
Yeah.
Jets, Mike White on Thursday, 7-4-11 for 95, one touchdown, no picks, wasn't sacked. Remember, he had to leave the game because of that forearm pinky injury thing. Josh Johnson ended up 27-41 for 317, three touchdowns, one pick, sacked twice. Elijah Moore, seven carries for 84 yards and two touchdowns. I'll say Buffalo, I mean, people aren't going to like take that yesterday as anything, you know, diseased on the team. I will, but I still think the spread is going to be double digits, so I'll say -10.5.
You're light. It's 13.
Oh, we're doing that again?
Yeah, my power ratings come to 14. You know, I'm not going to go there, but you know, let's not underestimate how terrible the Jets were.
I mean,
defensively, that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen. I mean, the Colts pretty much did whatever they wanted to. QBR-wise, and, you know, again, backtracking a little bit here, Carson Wentz was 91.8 against that Jet defense, who gave up 250-some yards rushing as well. So they were horrible. I'm going to use 13. Like I said, put Dicker on your bingo card here. I'm not going to Dicker with that one. I think they probably still need to be 13 because you mentioned that murderer's row that they beat. The Jets will fit perfectly into that murderer's row column.
And that's why I took Buffalo yesterday. I'm like, well, I can get away with it again, bullying up on the Jaguars. And the Jaguars scored 9 points. If you had told me before the game, hey, the Jaguars only scored 9, oh, we got through.
Where can I lay the 16?
Even though I had figured out Buffalo was a fraud, I was like, not today they won't be, though. Yeah. What? You can't explain that performance. They're so bad. Anyway.
By the way, can I backtrack 1 second? Back to Atlanta. Matt Ryan had the best QBR of the day, 93.8.
Matty Ice.
He's playing well, but the team is still bad. Yeah. They're bad.
Before the season in Pro Football Sports Betting Guide at VSiN, we're asked to pick all the playoff teams. I had Atlanta as one of the NFC wild cards, and I can't
believe...
They're
not out of it yet. They're 4-4.
Can't believe I'm alive for that. What's next, Jeff?
Saints at Titans.
Saints lose to Atlanta. Trevor Siemian, 25 for 41, 249, two touchdowns, no pick, sack once. Alvin Kamara, 13 carries for 50 and a touchdown, four catches for 54, always filling up a stat sheet. 10 penalties for 74 yards, though, for New Orleans. They had a 4th-and-3 at the Atlanta 36, under 9 minutes left in the second quarter, down 3-0. Adam Trautman dropped a pass, no real consequence. So Atlanta and New Orleans were messing up on 4th downs, but there was no real direct consequence. Tennessee. Yesterday, last night, beats the Rams and beats them good 28-16. First of all, the biggest thing of this game, we had a referee with a beard. Did you notice that?
I did not.
I think that's the first in NFL history. Look up that, Scott Hansen. Tannehill was 19 of 27 for 143 yards. Our third game now where the winning quarterback didn't even get to a 150. One touchdown, one pick, sacked 3 times. 12:36 left in the second quarter. The Rams are up 3-0. This is the only sequence of the game you needed to know last night. 3rd-and-4 at their own 10. Stafford with a Carson Wentz-like whirling dervish interception. Next play, 2-yard touchdown pass to Swaim from Tannehill. 7-3 Titans. Ensuing drive, first play from scrimmage. 1st-and-10, own 21. 12:16 left in the second quarter. Keith Byard, 24 yards, pick 6, 14-3. Essentially game over at that point because the next Tennessee drive, after a 4-and-out for the Rams, if you will, it was 21-3. The Titans won with 16 first downs and 194 total yards. They were outgained 347-194. Jeffrey Simmons, 3 sacks, 1 quarterback hit, 4 quarterback hurries for Tennessee. Tennessee will be favored by 4.5, I believe, in this game. That's my guess.
I like your number way better.
Oh, what do
Plinko.
You got? What do you got?
It's 3 universally. I'm opening 3.5. I mean, there's times when, you know, I disagree with the number. This one I completely don't understand. Now, I lowered Tennessee 2.5 points with the Derrick Henry injury because that's a lot for a run. I can't ever remember doing that for a running back in my life. But they looked really good. By the way, when you look at those yardage statistics, you know, versus the Rams, you know, when you score twice on, you know, a 2-yard drive, whatever.
Basically,
the hell it was,
two pick sixes. Yeah.
And then another pick six. That takes away 2 possessions where they had what, 20 yards, 80 yards, whatever. So that can be a little deceiving when you look at that, when you look at just yardage on something like that. I think Tennessee is still really good, and Tannehill, even though he didn't have great numbers, his QBR, where am I at? 62.6, which is pretty good. This defense is coming around. I think it's a team that believes in itself. Now back to New Orleans. You know, Trevor Siemian, well, let's just say he is – who we thought he
yes,
is, you know,
exactly.
And 18.5. And let's not forget, he had a great game the week before. He's been around. He's not a very good quarterback. And he's just not that good. The Saints aren't that good. They've been very up and down. But my numbers came to 6, and I thought that was, well, I'd probably lay the 6.
And that's the conundrum with Tennessee. Like, what of that yesterday was like, oh, well, it's just the two, you know, errors by the Rams that made that game what it was. Yes. But what is it about this football team that makes them so successful week in, week out, year in, year out? Coming back, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Matt Warrior 013. This is my favorite segment of the week. You three are awesome. Side question, does the gold sheet still exist out there? Thanks.
Yeah, it does.
I think it does. Yeah, I think it exists. Yeah. The Better Life, Tim Lawson. 7 years ago this week, we heard the original telling of Adventures in Bad Bookmaking from Chrissy on the Beating the Book podcast. He tweeted it out for everybody. He's doing a great job tweeting those out.
Yeah. Well, was that the one with the where I blew the pick six?
That was the one I think he sent earlier.
Oh, he sent that.
Last week he sent that.
I think he sent that 2 days ago or 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Breeders' Cup momentarily because I want you to explain this to everybody. Right. This is from Carmarandazo. Not a good game for the Buffalo Bills. He said, hope someone took the under. That's true. Matthew Mayberry. I was so sick of Scott Hansen and the Josh Allen stuff that when Chris Collinsworth brought it up on Sunday Night Football, I screamed at him even though he only said it once. Luckily, I had the Colts in Survivor this week, though. Congratulations to you. I'm glad you got through. And on with the tweet. Oh, Mickey Baca, last one. If you had to pick one on repeat for an hour, A, Josh Allen to Josh Allen, or B, Todd Wishnev singing the Miami Dolphins song, Jeff, what do you think Gil says? LOL. I don't know what I'd prefer, to be quite honest. This morning, definitely not the Josh Allen thing. Okay, so last thing about the Titans game that we just went through, that last comment that I made. So you're right, it was the whirling dervish play, which resulted in a 2-yard touchdown pass from Tannehill to Swaim after that, and then the pick six to Byard, and that kind of changed, that changed that game forever. They added another touchdown before you knew it was 21-3, and that game was just sort of holding serve the rest of the way. What do you make of the Titans, even without Derrick Henry, that we can say that about that game, and we'd be right to say, oh, well, it was a weird game the way it played out. But they're just – the Derrick Henry thing is a unicorn thing with them. And now, even without them, you wonder if there's just something about this football team that's so different from everybody else. I got those calls about New England, texts about New England, people wanting to bet New England. I actually want to bet the Titans.
Well, they've come close. You know, in the last couple of years. I mean, I think Vrabel sometimes, he looks like a caveman kind of on the side, but he's coached that team well. They've gotten a lot out of that. He revived Tannehill's career, who was like a waste pretty much in Miami. I think this team can win. I really do. I think they're very, very good and can win football games.
The hardest part of their schedule is now behind them. Easier moving forward. And we haven't ruled out the return of Derrick Henry at some
point.
Right. Just saying. Next.
Two teams coming off a bye week. Tampa at Washington.
All right. I got nothing to say here. Two teams off a bye. Tampa Bay is going to be a 10-point favorite at D.C. Or I should say at Ral John. I don't know if they call it Ral John anymore.
I like your number better. It's mostly 9.5. My numbers came to 11. I think I'm going to open 10 and take a pop. If anybody wants to come on in on Washington, come on in. I'm going to open 10 on this game. It's 9.5 everywhere, but I think 10 is a much better number here.
The only spread I've been pretty way off on, I think, is the Tennessee one. I love Tennessee in that game.
I'm way off on that one, too, my friend, so don't feel too bad.
What's next?
Well, the Ravens, I'm way off on that one, too.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you ended up posting the number, I guess, 7.5.
I'm going to open 7.5, yeah.
Next one, Jeff?
Another one. Detroit winless off a bye. Pittsburgh sight unseen.
Pittsburgh, who hosts the Bears tonight, another team I didn't trust in Survivor. I'll secretly, for my own prevention of self-loathing, I'll be rooting for the Bears tonight so then I can absolutely say, well, I was going to lose any way I went. Because I was never going to pick Baltimore and I was never going to pick Miami once the Tyrod Taylor news came down. Pittsburgh, I threw it between 7 and 10. I'll say Pittsburgh minus 8.5, kind of a no man's land.
Yeah, it's pretty much 9. I see an 8.5. I see a 9.5. Okay, diminishing returns. We could scratch that off your bingo card. My power ratings come to 13. Actually, a lot of money showed on Pittsburgh tonight. A lot of money. But I wouldn't trust Pittsburgh with more than double digits.
People learned nothing from yesterday. Yeah. Let's bet Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And the answer is no, by the way. They have not learned anything from yesterday. So I'm going to open 9. Like I said, my power ratings come higher, but the diminishing returns, this is a textbook case right here. I could see Pittsburgh winning 17-10 very easily here.
That was an easy line to guess, too, because you had the barometer of tonight's game to sort of establish that it's 7 and then just
add a little higher than
Chicago would be Detroit. That was also the thing about picking Buffalo is you knew you could play Pittsburgh or Baltimore this coming week. All right, what's next, Jeff?
All right, to the afternoon we go on the West Coast. So 4:05 Eastern, Vikings at Chargers.
Okay, pardon me. Vikings at Chargers. Where do we start with the Minnesota Vikings? Minnesota's 3-5. As we mentioned, they lose to the Ravens yesterday, 34-31 in overtime. They were up 24-10. They just, this team, let's just go through it. 3-5. They lost on a Dalvin Cook fumble in overtime in Cincinnati. They missed a 37-yard field goal to lose to Arizona. They lost to Cleveland by 7, had the ball at the Cleveland 26 when the clock went to 0. They lost to Cooper Rush of the Cowboys. And yesterday they cough up the 14-point second-half lead. Those are 5 losses this season by a total of 18 points. 5 losses, all 5 of them by a total of 18 points. By the way, a couple of their 3 wins. They beat Detroit by a miracle, recall that.
Yeah.
And they beat Carolina in overtime after trying desperately to lose that football game. Kirk Cousins had to win it overtime. So you look, if you're a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, you have got to be done with this outfit. Just like you almost knew they would figure out a way to lose that game yesterday. And it's not Kirk Cousins' fault. 17 of 28 for 187 yesterday. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked. Never. He wasn't sacked.
QBR this, 71.3. Sorry to interrupt.
You know, 71. This year, 16 touchdowns and 2 picks this year. Dalvin Cook, 17 for 110. Jefferson threw 1 pass for 11 yards. Also had 3 catches for 69 and a touchdown. They did have 8 penalties for 107 yards. But again, 36-13 disadvantage in first downs. And if you go back to that game against Cooper Rush in Dallas on Sunday night, the offense just goes away for really long periods of time. They gave up 500 total yards. They were outgained 500 to 318. But they were +2 in turnovers. When you're +2 in turnovers, you should win football games. They were out time of possession 46-04 to 23-40, as we mentioned. They had a 4th-and-2 at their own 33, up 24-17. Give them credit for that. 7:25 left in the third quarter. They had a fake punt. They snapped it to the up back, and they did convert it. That's Minnesota in defeat. Then there's the Chargers. This was the fishiest line of the week to me, the Chargers and the Eagles line. Chargers end up winning it by a field goal, 27-24. Justin Herbert, 32 of 38. 32 of 38, 356. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He wasn't sacked. 5 carries, 14 yards, and a touchdown. Keenan Allen.
93.1 was his QBR, by the way.
He is tremendous. Keenan Allen, 12 catches for 104. Now, here's the Brandon Staley-led Chargers, because we always try to isolate the 4th downs. So, 4th and goal at the 2-yard line in a scoreless game. 4th and goal at the 2 in a scoreless game, 5:46 left in the first quarter. 1-yard gain. That was the rare 98-yard scoreless drive from the 1 to the 1. All right, then it's 4th-and-2 at the Philadelphia 27 with 7:30 left in the second quarter in a 7-7 game. They only get 1 yard on that. They fail to convert. Then, and this is the key sequence at the end of the game, so we have a tie game. It's 24-24. 4th-and-1 at the Philly 39 with 2:48 left. Of course, they go for that because they're in no man's land, and they convert it. And then maybe the biggest single 4th down decision of the entire day in the NFL. 4th-and-1 at the Philly 28, under 2 minutes now. They try to draw the Eagles defense offsides.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that, so they call timeout. They come back from the timeout. They appropriately sneak and convert. Best coaching decision of the day. I would say, from Brandon Staley on that 4th-and-1, under 2 minutes left, not settling for a 45-yard field goal from a kicker in Dustin Hopkins, who I can attest to as a Washington football team fan, is such a hit-or-miss guy, it's not even funny. By the way, he missed an extra point earlier in the game as well. And you have a 6-foot-5-inch quarterback, you sneak him. And they did, they converted it, and they won on the much shorter Hopkins field goal. But I will say this about the Chargers' defense. They allowed 175-plus rushing yards. Are you ready for this? For the fifth time this season. So anyway, bottom line, Minnesota at Chargers. I said Chargers minus 3. I'll get to more comments later.
It's 2.5 pretty much everywhere. I made it 4 myself. I think Chargers certainly have their flaws, but Minnesota has a whole bunch of flaws. So I'm opening 3. It's 2.5 everywhere. Once again, go ahead and trample somebody else at the windows trying to get to that plus 3 because, you know, they can't resist the 3 or 2.5 when it's 3 everywhere. You know, they can't resist. So I'm opening 3. And by the way, you mentioned the Chargers defense. I'll just jump ahead. Jalen Hurts is really, to me, nothing but a mediocre quarterback. 91.8 was his QBR against that Charger defense.
Yeah, that QBR is weird with that.
And by the way, there was somebody...
QBR loves Jalen Hurts.
QBR is just one more tool that I think... I don't completely understand that. I don't want to pretend like I do. But somebody else, a couple weeks ago when I said Kirk Cousins was in the bottom third of quarterbacks, called me out on it. And by the way, that guy, whoever you are, I forget who you are, by the way. Sorry about that. You're right. He's not in the bottom third.
No.
He's definitely probably in the upper half, especially this year.
He's a top 15 quarterback.
He's a good quarterback. Yeah. He's, you know, I give you that. He's a good quarterback.
The thing with the Chargers is I want to fall in love with them so bad.
Yeah, me too.
And Brandon Staley's fourth down instincts are great, I think.
I love Herbert.
Yeah. I love Justin Herbert. But that defense is so unspecial.
Yeah.
To put it mildly.
I still think they got to be a solid 3 against this team.
Yeah, I think so, too. By the way, here's just a random thought, too. And I heard somebody say something like this last night, but I was thinking it during the day. Is there some weird... So, the NFL, we all acknowledge, you know, this year, maybe more than every other year, and I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but I think I'm right in saying this. It's wackier than any year before, I think. Especially with all the fourth downs, the wider variance in scores, inexplicable performances. Yesterday, just the whole slate was filled with them. Do you think that the extra game, at going from 16 to 17 games, and I know it's only one extra football game, but work with me here.
And we're only halfway through the first year of it.
Right. Do you think that that has played some kind of weird mental game on teams where they're like, the notion of having let down games becomes magnified, where it's just sort of like, this season is endless. Like from 16 to 17, just that one extra week has had this strange psychological effect on everybody. Just like with the extra point being moved back. Like it's just a chip shot field goal, right? No, it's so difficult for everybody. That thought occurred to me yesterday.
Well, that thought never occurred to me, I got to tell you. I think there's a couple things going on in the NFL. I think the extra point is part of it. I think I think the fact that they go for it a lot more on fourth down can skew some scores.
Without question.
You know, the plus or minus that way. I don't know about that 17th game, but I think there's some things like that. But meanwhile, Survivor, up until yesterday, I mean, everybody was advancing every week. You know, so I mean,
until the Cincinnati Jets.
Until the Cincinnati game. But I talked to Jeff during the break. I'm not one of these believers in full moon and all that other stuff. But go to the college. Who looked good in college? Georgia looked good. You know, Bama didn't. Ohio State didn't. Oregon, I guess, looked okay. You know, Michigan State lost. I mean,
Cincinnati looks terrible.
Cincinnati
every week.
A couple weeks in a row now has looked terrible. So I mean, I don't know. Is there a weirdness there too because of the voting to get in? I don't know.
More guessing lines next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. A lot of folks on the Breeders' Cup. Topher Barron. Topher, you were the guy I ran into on the walkway, I believe, between Aria and Cosmo, or between Crystals and Cosmo. Topher, I believe that was you and your lovely wife. Listening to Gil and Chris talk about the Breeders' Friday. Had two tickets live in P6 and P5 each. One ticket each single to the one, and one with 1-2-4, although it came out okay for me. You guys are spot on that it should be all when that took place, in my opinion. He shows me the tickets he made out.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Good for you, Topher. Roger Kane.
Yeah.
The problem was that the vet did not examine the horse. He assumed he broke through the gate.
I think Roger's right on. And again, I think that goes back to the Barbaro thing where we lost one of the great horses of the last, you know, maybe 40 years.
Wow.
That's how good Barbaro was, yeah.
Vegas Vice, technically a vet can't scratch a horse. He recommends to the stewards who do the actual scratching.
Okay, that I didn't know.
Thank you, Vegas Vice. And Paul Zhang, only saving grace being a Vikings fan is in playing their opponent at halftime. and Chimp Pansy, I don't know if this is correct or not. Manning cast curse continues. Active players who have appeared on the Manning cast are now 0-6 the subsequent week. Josh Allen falling victim this week.
That is accurate. That
wow.
is correct.
Wow, the Madden curse goes to the Manning curse. And this from Joe Pita via text. Joe Pita, who was here talking about Profit Exchange with us last week, Profit, and obviously wrote Trading Bases, wrote the Joe Pita Tour Guide on the Masters. He says, the greatest thing about betting on the Chargers is that the coach makes decisions exactly in line with your goals as a bettor. I truly love Coach Daly. That's what absolutely agree.
Good point. Yeah.
He says, of course, it really hit me yesterday during that Eagles game. He removes a lot of that difference in coach bettor goals. The blowout in Baltimore was an example of that, too. Lose by 30 instead of 13 due to the failed fourth downs. He and us as bettors don't care. I said that week. I was like, Brandon Staley gets that it doesn't matter if you lose by 100 points. Doesn't care.
Yeah.
But for bettors, you'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. If you have a teaser.
Yeah.
Matters.
That's exactly right. What's next, Jeff?
Chris stole exactly what I was going to say. Can't tease the Chargers because of that.
Be careful.
Carolina at Arizona is next.
Oh, it's the Jeff Parlay special whenever we get to Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold. Carolina loses yesterday to New England. We talked about it a little. Darnold was 16 of 33 for 172. Ever been more quarterbacks with less than 200 yards passing?
By the way, you know what his QBR?
Well, three.
And in this case, I think the QBR was very accurate.
Three. I remember I had this kid in high school, graded out of 100, and I asked him, I was like, hey, Mark, what'd you get on your test? He goes, I got an 11. So it was 16 for 33 for 172, no touchdowns, picked three times, one sack. Career versus New England, Sam Darnold, 0-4 straight up, one touchdown against 11 turnovers. So Bill Belichick destroys Sam Darnold, one touchdown against 11 turnovers. He hasn't had a touchdown pass in three games, Sam Darnold. Last three games, Panthers have played, not a single touchdown pass. McCaffrey was back in the lineup, 14 for 52 on the ground, 4 for 54 catching. But the Panthers total 13 first downs, 240 total yards. They were 3 of 11 on third downs. They had 3 turnovers, and they had 10 penalties for 83 yards. The only good news is Stephon Gilmore's had a pick in both of his games as a Panther. Who are they playing Arizona? Oh, Arizona. Arizona goes into San Francisco without Kyler Murray, without DeAndre Hopkins, without A.J. Green, and they crush the Niners. Colt McCoy, 22 of 26 for 249, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. James Conner, 21 carries for 96 yards, two touchdowns, five catches, 77 yards and a touchdown. 163 rushing yards for the Cardinals against the Niners. Christian Kirk, one of one, throwing for 33, six catches for 91. They were plus three in turnovers against the Niners, overcame nine penalties for 84 yards, had a 36-47 to 23-13 time of possession advantage. It was 14-0 by the end of the first quarter. George Kittle fumbled. Brandon Ayuk fumbled. Both of those led to scoring drives in the first half for Arizona. I'll say Arizona by double digits here. I'll say Arizona minus 10.5.
I like your number better. Mark that off. It's mostly 10. I see mostly 10. I'm going to open 10.5. I made this game 14. I don't know if Kyler Murray's playing or not. The Panthers have really hit the skids. I mean, early in the season, they were 3-0. I thought, that Rule was like the next Vince Lombardi. They've hit the skids since then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They've lost 6 out of 7, and Darnold looks terrible. The defense looks terrible.
Jeff Barlett called this.
Yeah, and Darnold. Their one win was against the Falcons, who I think are terrible. I think this, and I'll tell you the truth, I've been slow to come around on the Cardinals. They're really, really good.
Might they, after yesterday, might they be the best team in the NFL?
Well, they're at the top of my power ratings, the grading says. I haven't gone through my power ratings as closely as I need to. They have the highest grade, I could tell you that. And somebody pointed this out on Twitter. I can't think of who it was. I'd like to acknowledge him. But James Conner, maybe the Steeler offensive line was just horrible, and that's why he had such a bad year, because he looks pretty good with the Cardinals. But that team has depth, and, I'm not a big fan of Kingsbury, but, sometimes you have great assistants and whatever, and I think this team can win. This team can definitely win it all, absolutely.
8-1, the Arizona Cardinals, without Kyler Murray, without DeAndre Hopkins. And
without J.J. Watt.
Yeah, without J.J. Watt, of course. Next, sir.
James Conner's also the best scoring running back in the history of the league all of a sudden now from going from Pittsburgh to Arizona. Double-digit touchdowns already for Conner.
Thanks for the salt in the wounds there.
Yeah, no worries.
I appreciate it.
No worries there, Chris. Seattle to Green Bay.
Seattle coming off a bye. We're getting Russell Wilson back next week. We might.
Oh, is that right?
Well, he's eligible.
Oh, I didn't have that.
He's eligible to come back for Week 10. I'm not sure. Let's get a word on that. Okay, Green Bay. Green Bay loses to Kansas City 13-7. Back door was open. Jordan Love took it. That's the best thing I'm going to say about Jordan Love now. Packers' 7-game winning streak is snapped. All three seasons under Matt LaFleur, they're 7-2 after 9 games, the Packers. All three seasons.
Is that right?
The Packers early in this game had 2 missed field goals and a muffed punt, leading to short fields for KC. I mean, that's all the plinko you need. That's all the Chiefs needed to win this game. And again, the Chiefs only won this 13-7 against Jordan Love. The Packers had no points, 0 points on their first 8 drives. Love ended up 19 of 34 for 190, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, he was sacked once. The Packers were 2 of 12 on third downs. They outgained Kansas City in defeat, 301 to 237. They were -2 in turnovers. Let me just say this about Jordan Love. This is going back, we do the Malcolm Gladwell blink thing about mm-hmm. past. So as a Washington football team fan growing up, remember the old holding the clipboard thing?
Yeah.
And if you held the clipboard for years, when you came to play after all those years, oftentimes you were really good. So Mark Rippon, Stan Humphries, Trent Green, all these guys in Washington who held the clipboard for years under their predecessor, one was a Super Bowl MVP, was the greatest player for 1 year you could ever imagine in Rippon. Humphries led the Chargers to an AFC championship. Mm-hmm. Trent Green, who knows if he doesn't get hurt, maybe he sure. leads the Rams to the promised land. Jordan Love learn anything all these years?
Oh, man. Well, it's 2 years. Year
two
and
years.
Half.
Yeah. 2 years still.
Yeah.
Did he learn anything? The thing was, anything they threw out at him that he had never seen before, he had no answer for.
Yeah.
None. I'll say, I don't know if it's Russell Wilson. If it's not Russell Wilson and it is Aaron Rodgers, I would say Green Bay by 6.
Yeah, it's mostly like 5 minutes. I just want to see here. It sounds like he might be back.
He might be. That would reduce it a little for me.
I got to tell you, this is a weird, weird number. I'm looking now. It's 4.5. It was 5. It's down to 4.5. Does that mean Russell Wilson's playing?
I don't know what to do with this game.
Okay, let's assume Rodgers is back with the team Saturday.
Yeah.
So that means he'll miss all week's practice. Now, a veteran, you know, I'm not sure that's going to affect a whole lot as far as his play on Sunday.
Yeah, no.
You know, I would assume not.
It's a hard game to figure out without knowing.
It's a hard game to figure. I mean, I got like 3 different numbers working for me, you know.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be real careful with this game, but I think I'm going to open 5. Just that gives me leeway, even though my friend Ralph Michaels posted that 5 is a much more predominant number than it used to be. But if I get laid the 5, I can go right to 6. If they take the 5, I can go right to 4. You know, I want to be careful with this game. Because like I said, I think there's a ton of variables that none of which that I'm sure of.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Ralph also, who tweeted out that grid last week or 2 weeks ago about where numbers fall now, where results fall, winning margins fall in NFL games now, percentage-wise for teaser players. That was very interesting to look at.
Ralph does his homework, I can tell you that.
No doubt about that.
He's a hard worker.
And here's what you'll say. Here's what the takeaway from yesterday, once again, as if we needed a reminder. Say what you will about Aaron Rodgers off the field, and Lord knows there's a lot to say. Terry Bradshaw certainly didn't bite his tongue about it yesterday. But, man, on the football field, there is nothing like Aaron Rodgers versus whomever. Yeah. You believe the Packers traded up for Jordan Love, too?
That was my beef the whole time. If he fell to them, okay, I can understand. They traded up to get this guy? First of all, he had like 20 interceptions or something his last year at Utah State.
Oh, yeah. We'll come back. More guessing lines. Numbers Game, Beast, and the Sports Betting Network. Correction, Chrissy.
Yeah.
From Michael Montesano.
Uh-oh, mea culpa.
He says Jordan Love did not throw 20 picks his last year at Utah State. 20 touchdowns and 17 interceptions.
A fine ratio indeed.
Year before, he was 32-6, it should be noted.
Okay.
We also get tweets at Beating the Book. Man Bear Puig talking about how the Packers missed the 2 field goals and then they muffed the punt. Will NFL coaches ever figure out that it's plus EV to never have a punt returner back? I don't hate that.
I don't hate that, but I've always said, I always tell my, when I'm rooting, catch the ball and that's it. Just catch the ball. I hate to see it roll down to the 1 on a 78-yard punt that went 40 yards.
Right.
You know? Catch the ball and then stop.
There's that, and then there's of course, no one can help themselves but commit a block in the back.
Again.
Right.
Catch the ball and just stop.
And as you said on the break, and it's so apparent on a punt.
Yeah, they can see it.
They can see the block in the back every time. I don't know. There's no punt returner anymore. There's no Devin Hester. There's no Mike Nelms, if I may. Thank you.
There's no Gale Sayers.
There's nobody who has that knack anymore. The Billy White Shoes Johnson of the world. And punt returning is a knack.
Yeah.
More
Johnny
than anything.
Johnny Rogers for college fans.
Johnny Rogers for Nebraska. Those guys don't exist anymore. All right, what's next, Jeff?
We are into the late afternoon now, Gil, and we are going to go to Denver with the Eagles and the Broncos.
How many afternoon games are there total next week?
4. So actually, Seattle and Green Bay is a 4:25 as well, but so is Philly and Denver.
Philly is at Denver?
Yes.
All right. Philly, as we mentioned, lose to the Chargers. Jalen Hurts, 11 of 17, for 162 yards. 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. 10 carries for 62 yards. Devonta Smith was his biggest target, 5 for 116 and a touchdown. They were 8 of 12 on third downs, but they allowed 2 touchdowns and 2 field goals on the 4 Chargers possessions in the second half. And that's really was the story of the game. The Eagles are 0-4 straight up at home this season. They're 0-3 straight up after a win. I have a question for you about the Eagles coming up. But they're at Denver. We talked about how Denver was up on Dallas 30-0. Dallas tried all those fourth downs. They couldn't get them done. And then when the Broncos had to punt early in the second half, it looked like Dallas had blocked the punt, but then they touched it. And it was like a Leon Lett kind of play where the Broncos maintained possession on the recovery. So Teddy Bridgewater was 19 of 28 for 249, 1 touchdown, no picks, sacked 4 times. That is Teddy's – you love Teddy Bridgewater.
I always have.
That is his 6th game this season without an interception.
Hmm.
More games are not lost than won.
Yeah.
That's his
thing. Teddy's not what he could have been because of that devastating injury. But he's I mean, I saw New Orleans was really trying to get him back. That would have been a great move for New Orleans.
Javonte Williams, by the way, 17 carries for 111. Melvin Gordon, 21 for 80 in a touchdown. They outrushed Dallas, Denver did, 190 to 78. Tim Patrick, 4 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. Denver ends up winning 30 to 16 again after the garbage time touchdowns for the Cowboys, where Mike McCarthy insisted on having Dak Prescott in the game for no particular reason. I'll say Denver minus 3.5, and then I'll ask you my Philly question.
You know, once again, I like your number better. It's 2.5. And 2.5 with some juice. I'm going to open 3. And as I like to point out, these guys think, number one, the game's definitely coming 3.
Yeah.
And number two, they'll never see another 2.5 again
for the rest
in the
of their
existence
lives.
Of bookmaking. So they'll come in and lay me the 2.5, have at it. I'm not crazy about either one of these teams, you know, really. But I just think, you know, Denver at home. By the way, I only give Denver a 2-point home field advantage, which right now is the highest I give anybody. But I my numbers came to 4 in this game. I just think Philly's not that good, but the wise guys love this team.
So that was my question.
Okay, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. They yesterday against the Chargers, the wise guys pounded the Eagles, whereas the public pounded the Chargers. They kicked off, and I needed the Eagles. The public just totally overpowered them on this game, and I could see why. I mean, I didn't have a strong opinion on the game, but I thought the Chargers should be a 3-point favorite on the road. But they love this Eagle team, and I don't know what they're going to do with this.
What is it about, Jeff? I'll bring in Jeff to speculate. What is it about the Eagles that they love so much?
I don't know. I've thought that team has been bad the whole year with a bad coaching staff and a bad quarterback. So I don't get it either. And this is multiple weeks running. We saw the Raider game, open 3, closed pick. Yesterday, open 1.5, closed pick. I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
What's the Mrs. Lincoln line at Ford Theater? Yeah. But besides that, what did you think about the play?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, bad quarterback, bad coach.
You know, I really thought Sirianni, not that I knew that much about him, I didn't, but I thought he might fit Jalen Hurts really well. And I guess if you look at QBRs, Jalen Hurts doesn't look that bad, but, I mean, you watch football games and – you know, I'm not sure he's an NFL quarterback. You know, starting NFL top-notch quarterback.
He's dangerous in his own way.
Yeah.
But if you watch enough of him, you're like, well, an NFL quarterback makes that play right there. He doesn't.
Yeah.
Let's do the Sunday night game here, Jeff, if we could.
Good one. Locally, just down the road from us. Chiefs at Raiders.
Now, I will say this. The Chiefs again in victory. Just like in victory against the Giants. Complete garbage. Patrick Mahomes yesterday, 20 of 37 for 166. Again, this has to be the record for the most winning quarterbacks with less than 200 yards passing. 20 of 37 for 166, one touchdown, no pick, sack once. Remember earlier when I was talking about Trevor Lawrence, how I said he had the second lowest yards per attempt in a win by a starter this year? Second lowest. Patrick Mahomes yesterday, in victory, the lowest yards per attempt in a win by a starter all year, 4.49 yards per attempt. It was his first game without an interception since week 1. Patrick Mahomes.
Remember how he never threw an interception in September?
Yeah. It's his first game without a pick since week 1. But they find themselves at 5-4, half a game behind the Raiders and the Chargers in the AFC West. Kelce, 5 catches for 68, a touchdown yesterday. The Chiefs had 4th-and-1 at their own 45 in a scoreless game, 12:37 left in the first quarter. They went for it. They converted. That led to a 7-0 lead. But 4th-and-1 at their own 39 to start the second quarter, up 7-0, 2-yard loss. That led to a Green Bay drive, which resulted in one of Mason Crosby's missed field goals. It was a blocked field goal. 2 minutes left, up 13-7. Explain this to me. 2 minutes left in the game. Chiefs are up 13-7. Green Bay has no timeouts left. So what do you do there on third down? You run, don't you, on 3rd and 10? You milk the clock, and then Green Bay, you pin Jordan Love deep. They passed. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, if you throw an incomplete pass, you are bailing out the Packers entirely. Mahomes to Tyreek, maybe his biggest play of the day for a first down, bailed him out.
That was the one play that he looked like Patrick Mahomes.
And he reacted like it was, like he found himself. He's like, oh my God, that's me. I forgot about me.
Yeah.
Or something. They were outgained by Green Bay 301-237. They were plus two in turnovers. And then the Raiders lose to the Giants. We haven't even gotten to that game yet. Raiders lost to the Giants. Derek Carr 30-46 for 296, one touchdown, two picks, was sacked once. First game for Derek Carr with multiple picks this season. Raiders last three possessions, missed 25-yard field goal attempt and two turnovers. That's all you need right there. Jacobs 13 for 76 on the ground. Waller 7 catches for 92. They outgained the Giants 403-245 and lost.
Mm-hmm.
They were minus two in turnovers. Exactly. And again, the pick six theme, Xavier McKinney, one of his two picks was a pick six, 41 yards of Derek Carr, 5:24 left in the third quarter. That put the Giants ahead 17-13, biggest play of the game. I will say the Raiders will be favored. And I will say the Raiders will be favored by 2.5.
I don't quite like your number better. I had the Raiders 1. It's Kansas City 2.5 and 2.5 with juice.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to open 2.5 because I'll probably lay that to me.
I was just about to say, I have gone this entire show spectacularly well with guesses.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. And I'll tell you right now, you've kind of alluded to it. There's something wrong with this Kansas City team. Is it coaching? The play calling? Well, that one worked in their favor.
Yeah.
But I can understand that maybe a questionable call. Andy Reid, Hall of Famer, Eric Bieniemy, looks like one of the top offensive coordinators in the league. I don't know. And the defense doesn't look terrible. There is something wrong with this team. They are living on past reputation
right now.
And I am off this bandwagon. I didn't like it yesterday. I really thought, I thought it was going to be an overreaction to the Rodgers, suspension, whatever you want to call it. And we're lucky to cover the numbers, certainly. But, there's something wrong with Kansas City. They're not that good.
I was just about to say how the sneaky part of this show today was how accurate I was on the guesses, yeah. And then that happens. We'll come back. We'll do the Monday night game, our last game, and then we'll review everything we like. Teaser legs, Survivor plays, although I'm not involved anymore. Coming back, guessing lines. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, my Mishbucha from the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. Always so much fun to do this show with you. 2 hours flies by.
It does.
Flies
by. The
old
podcast days, we'd take 3 hours to do a show.
It's story time, and you would just go, we could just go for an hour.
We could, easy.
They were lucky if I was wearing my pants in our apartment in San Francisco. Those were the days. But look what it led to. We get to do this still today. And I'll tell you, the podcast numbers, we air this show, people get to listen to it, and then it's put on podcast, and the podcast numbers are out of this world, even with the first airing of it.
I have a lot of fun doing it. I really do.
It's the best. You're like, this is the last thing I ever do for free.
I've held to that.
We've all held to that. All right, the Monday night game, Jeffrey.
Rams at 49ers.
Ooh, Rams at Niners. By the way, this is from Spike on Twitter, Spike McGruder. Dante Hall, another unreal forgotten NFL
returner.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, he was good. Yeah.
They don't exist anymore, those guys. Rams at Niners. Okay, the Rams lose that game to the Titans last night. Matthew Stafford doing his best Carson Wentz imitation. He ends up 31 of 48 for 294, one touchdown, two picks, sacked five times. I said the Bills were soft yesterday. The Rams look soft against Tennessee.
Soft protecting Stafford up the middle.
Yeah.
For sure.
Woods, 7 for 98. Cup, 11 for 95. By the way, isn't Stafford like 6 foot? We were talking about this last night. Michael Montesano and I were mentioning this. Matthew Stafford's like 6 foot 5 inches tall or something like that. He gets more balls batted down at the line of scrimmage than any 6'5 dude I've ever seen. Mm. You notice that about him? Just seems like it. Mm. I don't know. Maybe it's just us. 12 penalties for 115 yards for the Rams. That was the other thing the Rams and the Bills had in common yesterday. Just penalties every which way. San Francisco losing to the Kyler-less, DeAndre-less, A.J. Green-less Cardinals. Jimmy Garoppolo, 28 of 40 for 326, two touchdowns, one pick, sacked five times. Kittle, 6 for 101 and a touchdown. Ayuk showing up, 6 for 89 and a touchdown. But both of them fumbled, Kittle and Ayuk, and both led to Cardinals points in the first half. The Niners were minus 3 in turnovers. They gave up 437 total yards. They are 1-12 straight up in their last 13 games at home.
Okay. I finally gave them a zero for home field
there
advantage.
There it is. Oh, they deserve a zero. Have you ever been to Levi Stadium before?
I have not.
It is a beautifully antiseptic stadium.
Yeah.
There's nothing to it. By the way, they had a 4th-and-13 at the Arizona 39, down 31-14 with 13:08 left, and they punted. That's the trend in the NFL of going for it on 4th downs. Let me repeat that. The Niners had the ball 4th-and-13 at the Arizona 39, down 17 points with 13:08 left, and they punted. I don't care if it's 4th-and-20.
I'm gotta go for it.
Go for it. Throw the Colts make just throw the ball up. Have a DB run into somebody. You punted? Kyle Shanahan, man. Worse record than Mike Singletary had. Just saying.
Yeah.
Rams, I put it in no man's land. I said Rams -5.5.
I don't quite like your number better, but I close. My numbers came to 4.5. It's 4, pretty much universal. You know, I think I'll probably open 4 just to kind of test the waters. If I see it trending higher, I'm going to go up. Like I said, I've given them now a 0 for home field advantage. They might be negative at home field. They might be better on the road.
The Niners and Washington franchises followed the exact same trajectory. They both won multiple Super Bowls in baseball-converted stadiums, RFK and Candlestick.
Yeah.
Stadiums that were not built for football. They were very awkward, both of the alignments. And then they both moved out of the city to suburban Shangri-Las, right? These
Raljohn,
right. Excuse me. Not really a Shangri-La in that case. But the stadiums were at the times were like the best, you know. Yeah. Washington was the most stupid because they got one of these ridiculous riverfront three river stadiums right when those stadiums were going out. So it's even worse. But they both moved out of the city, and they both ended up with 0 home field advantage almost from day one.
They're a 0 right now. Like I said, they may be negative. And this year, I don't know why. I used to have Washington as a 1-point home field. They're 1.5 now. And why did I add that half?
I have no idea.
I got to take a look at that.
That must be an error. You're like,
maybe I hit the wrong button on my computer.
No way.
They shouldn't be 1.5. But you know, San Francisco's a 0. And by the way, should we start calling them Santa Clara? It's not even the same county.
No.
But anyway, like I said, my numbers come to 4.5. That Ram performance was awful yesterday. And where's my QBRs? Stafford was 17.6. Terrible, terrible number. The guy's still in the hunt for the MVP. He's had a great year. He had a terrible game yesterday. But he was pressured up the middle.
Oh, he had no chance.
Yeah, I mean, he really was pressured horribly yesterday. And that stuff you're saying about Kyle Shanahan, we got to take a look at that. You know, that's... I don't know. I'm starting to really sour on this guy.
And think about the players. Like I mentioned this. They got Trey Sermon, but they seem to like Elijah. I always get Elijah Moore and Mitchell mixed up. They seem to like Elijah Mitchell better than they like Sermon. Then, like, they have, you know, the whole Garoppolo-Lance thing. They seem to like Garoppolo better. They just some very strange moves with their personnel, too. It's like, well, why'd you draft these guys? So,
Worse than Mike Singletary. That says a lot right there.
I couldn't believe it.
I would have trouble believing that, too.
All right. So what did we like the best? Off the top of my head, Titans, based on the number, the spread, Titans and Raiders for me.
Oh, my God. I got 5 that
I like. I mean, I'm sure there's more. I'm just
riffing. I got 5 I like. That's way too many. And 4 of them are favorites.
Oh, no.
I like the Ravens, the Titans, the Chargers. Chargers just a little, though. That, you know.
I like the Ravens, too.
The Broncos and the Raiders. The Raids are the only dog. That's
the Broncos. The Broncos, too. Yeah. Oh, no. We like the same things, and it's way too many.
Yeah, that's a lot. But, I mean, that's kind of what I like at first glance.
By the way,
great show. I really enjoyed it. One thing really hurt.
Oh, no.
Grandpa.
Yeah. I know.
Shut up, Parlay. I hear you laughing back there. How about Uncle? Does that not fit a little better than Grandpa?
It hurt you for like an hour and a half. You've been stewing.
Well, I think we're 2 hours, but okay.
And the poor, it was Cricket Man, I believe, on Twitter. The poor guy was just trying to give you a compliment, too, and then he went too far. Oh, no. Sorry, Cricket Man. I know.
She has a great personality.
I noticed that people call me sir now way more than they used to. I'm like, stop calling me sir. In my head. All right, Jeff, what did you like the best of all these, by the way? Jeff Parlay, everybody.
There's only one.
Only one.
Only one.
Smarter than us.
There's a bunch of maybes. Like Baltimore's in the maybe pile. The Chargers are in the maybe pile. The Broncos are in the maybe pile. But the Kansas City Chiefs,
thank you,
being favored on the road.
That's the only line that made no sense.
Against the team that, remember last year when Kansas City was still good, the Raiders won in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
And the game here, the Raiders matched them every single time, and Kansas City won because they had the ball last. You're telling me the Raiders aren't going to win this game outright and win this game comfortably?
It's the only spread that
That's
I couldn't.
The only number that makes no sense.
Made no sense to me. You saw it by my guess. I couldn't believe it. I had the Raiders favored by 2.5.
Well, I have the Titans made no sense to me either.
That didn't either, yeah. So teaser legs then. Baltimore, I get it. It's not a long teaser leg because they're a road team. But you could essentially tease Baltimore down through the 7 and 3. Could you
tease the Browns? You could tease the Raiders. No, those are Wong teasers.
Yes. You could tease New Orleans, too, right? Is that 2.5?
Where's
New Orleans and Tennessee?
Yeah, well, that's 3.5. Oh, I'm open 3.5. It's mostly 3.
So it's not one. Okay, what were the two? Browns and...
Browns and Raiders.
Browns and Raiders.
Yeah, those are...
Or I guess you could the Eagles, too, right?
Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah.
Browns, Raiders, Eagles, and I... Yeah. Oh, so the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders. Yeah, Eagles. That wouldn't be a bad teaser.
Raiders and Ravens leaps off the page for me. Give me that.
Yeah,
Ravens. And maybe the Browns, too.
Jeez.
All right, and then Survivor, for those of you lucky enough to still be in it, I would not be one of them. Baltimore or Pittsburgh were going to be one of my choices. Those were going to be my choices next week, Baltimore or Pittsburgh. But I guess if you hadn't played Indianapolis yet, they'd be available. If you hadn't played Buffalo yet, they'd be available. So would Dallas. So would Tampa Bay.
Sure.
Many a choice. Many a choice. Sadly, I will not be involved. Thanks a lot, Buffalo Bills. 2 years in a row, I've gone deep and lost with the biggest favorite on the board. 17 points last year, and then what was it yesterday? 15.5?
It was 16, right, Chris?
16. I saw 16.5. I could have gone to 16.5.
My, oh my. Michael Lombardi is next. Oh, he's got lots to say, I'm sure. Michael Lombardi, who I believe was 3-0 dogs yesterday. Good for him. Lombardi Line next with the great Michael Lombardi. Enjoy. Thank you, Chrissy. As always, appreciate it. Thank you, Jeff. From all of us at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.